I'm always fascinated by how people came to the Dharma. What on earth makes us do it? And so I thought, in case some of you are also quite curious about this, that I'd indulge you and say something about some of my starting points. And I put next to starting points, it's the people. And indeed it was at the beginning and right through. I hadn't been much good at friendship for a number of reasons. I hadn't had friends. I was working full-time, I had family, various things, and no doubt temperament, all sorts of stuff. Though I do remember saying to somebody years before I met the Dharma, friendship is the most important thing. And I think it frightened them because I didn't ever see them again. So that wasn't a very helpful approach. So when I met Tri Ratna, the FWBO then, in 1991, I was 48, I was a beginner with friendship with others. And I found myself, having been completely not a religious person, if one can say that, it's not quite accurate, but having had no religious contact at all since my teens, I found myself on a newcomer's weekend retreat at Tarloka. And I just amazed myself. It was all a surprise. So things are mysterious, aren't they? How things happen. Can't really work it all out, which is why I'm so curious about how people come to the Dharma. I found myself saying to myself, just in the course of the weekend, of the order members who were there, these are my kinswomen who I've been looking for all my life. And that was just how my first contact with the order struck me. And some of the people on that newcomer's retreat are still my good friends after more than 25 years, I'm happy to say, yeah. In spite of this initial huge pull and inspiration, I didn't find the Sangha jewel particularly easy for quite a long time. Because of that background of not much practice in friendship. So I struggled away with enjoyment and difficulty and puzzlement as well. 6 months after that first contact, I asked to join the order. I wasn't a mitra, I couldn't be a mitra for various practical reasons, but I didn't know what I was doing. How could I after 6 months of contact? And I just, when asked, well, why do you want to join the order? I thought, and I said, I want to be able to teach the Dharma. That was my first answer to that. And that kind of makes me think, yes, one of the wonderful things about being an order member is that other order members work incredibly hard to provide the context for me and other people to talk about the Dharma. How wonderful is that? Anyway, that's my first motivation. I was a teacher, so maybe that's why I like teaching. And I wanted to bring them together. So, I amazed myself. In fact, I was so puzzled when I first phoned Tarloka to book on the retreat. I put the phone down twice on their answer phone. I was just so wary of any religious organisation, but fortunately, I got a real person the third time, so I did the deed. I thought I'd like to talk a bit next about some of the delights of being an order member. And I put under this heading, again, it's the people, it's always the people. That all of you, I mean, when I came this evening, I've only been coming to Sangonites for about 18 months here. And I just felt I'm among friends, and it was such a lovely feeling. It's always the people. But I thought of a couple of delights. It's quite hard to put these into words, really. I put down here, coming to know the shared experience of one's fellow order members. And some of this is kind of known. You know that we've all, as I know of you, many of you, we've all studied in the same way, gone through the Mitra course. I know that changes a bit, but there are elements still in it that I studied as a Mitra. There's a shared work in various ways, in different contexts. We've worked together. And there's our practice, various formal kinds of meditation practice, as well as the more general practice of just simply being an order member. And then there's the shared history, which is a very strong connector, I think. Very, very strong. The shared personal history, shared history of the whole movement and order. And I've found that that shared experience that you can absolutely most take for granted, it's there wherever you are, all over the world. I haven't been to a huge number of places, but I have met other order members in India, lots, in China, not very many, and in America, quite a few. And wherever you are, there's an immediate ease and kindness that you just, it just happens. In a sense, we already know each other. And then there's the kind of unknown aspect of shared experience, which I find rather mysterious. It's a kind of recognition. That's all I can say. And there's also the mysterious kind of kind of a centre of gravity almost. That means I've several times come across another order member in the most unlikely circumstances, where once there's a huge services area on motorway. And it was packed out, enormous. I was carrying a tray. And I crossed paths with an order member called Vipassi. And if either of us had been 30 seconds earlier or later, there'd have been no meeting. But somehow it happens. And I've noticed that again and again. I've noticed it here, actually. One of the order members I first met in China and then met again in America, I turned up at the Fitzwilliam a few months ago, and I mean, there he was, sitting there having a cup of coffee. Dalmotra, he called. So that's the rather mysterious aspect of one of the delights of being an order member. The other one, I mean, there are many, but I've picked a couple. I've put here long friendships, and I've as Ratnagosha kind of said, I'm 21. So, and before that, well, it's getting on for 20, well, it's 25 and a half years since that Taraloka newcomers retreat. I've known some people all that, the whole of that time. We were Mitras together, we did Mitra study, and so on and so on. There's just something so wonderful about that. Maybe this happens anyway, I guess it does, but for me it's really only happened within the order. Friends of mine who've been much better at friendship have had very, very long, lifelong friends, But since I haven't, this is my arena for long friendships, and I just value them so much. Two of my old friends came down to stay last weekend, and it was just lovely. They do need tending, long friendships, but the longer they go on, somehow a little bit of tending, keeps it all going, and the firm basis is always there. It's always there. So that's a real delight. Well, next come the difficulties. I have to be frank and tell you that there are difficulties in being an order member, in case you're under any illusions about this. I'll mention a very few. One, I think, is a really, really significant thing, is that we can't bat away from uncomfortable situations, maybe quite difficult experiences. We're here. We've said, yes, I'm going to do this, and we keep the faith. I felt that very strongly, times when I've felt under pressure from various directions. And actually, that sense of there not being a door to slip through is very, very strengthening. Yeah, it's a great strengthener. So that vow, or those vows we make, are just such a blessing. So no backing away from awkward, difficult situations, and seeing Arthur Prayer here makes me think of one in particular, the building project in Manchester. Oh, and yeah, Hi, yes. That was grim. Pictures. it was, wasn't it? Picture the scene. It's dark. There's been sandblasting in what's going to be the big shrine room. There's brick dust all over the floor and clinging to the walls. And it has to be hosed down and then brushed and then got up off the floor. And I'm on my own in the dark and the cold doing this. I think that was, apart maybe from being out on the scaffolding doing the windows midwinter, that was the nadir, that really was. Yeah. But you don't back away. Here's this project, you've volunteered, you do it. And there's no backing away either from people who may be temperamentally very different from me. And through that difference, they present a challenge to my sense of this preacher here. Wow, a difference. And not having been a practice friend earlier, I realised that looking back, when I had met somebody who presented me with difficulties in the past, I would, without thinking about it, back off. I wouldn't go and have a coffee with them. I just wouldn't pursue the acquaintance. Well, what an enormous loss, and what a huge gain, just having to stick here with these sometimes very different fellow human beings. So I think such experiences of staying in discomfort of various kinds really honed my practice. I like that word, hone. It's just a kind of old-fashioned word, but I see a knife, a blade, being sharpened on this very sort of rough, gritty surface. And that's it exactly. The grit of being in the order hones you. It produces a shining blade. And another difficulty And you'll see what's going to become of these difficulties. I'm not going to leave you with them. There's a transformation that happens on this last card. But the other difficulty I thought I'd mention is that I've found some friendships to be really, really stretching. And nobody present is involved at all. Before you start to wonder about that, nobody at all. But I have found some friendships to be really stretching. And by that I mean that the aspects of a person's character and behaviour may not always be very congruent. They may not add up. They may be, sometimes at this end of an axis and sometimes way, way off at that end. And you may not know which end you're going to meet on any given occasion. And I've found myself that, again, I would have probably been off before I met the Dharma and this movement, Sri Ratna, the order. Once I had met it, I couldn't disappear off. And so I stayed and was stretched. And what a wonderful thing that turns out to have been. So, transformation, difficulties become delights. And for those of you who know the Vimalakirti Nadesha, difficulties and delights are two. The Dharma door of non-duality is, let's say, the order. Shall we say that, or shall we say Tri Ratna? It overcomes that apparent dichotomy. The difficulties are the things I've learnt most from, for a start, and they've become delights through practice. It's been a delight to struggle to stay with discomfort until I've increased my toleration of it and lessened the discomfort without avoiding its cause. And I've learned that freedom comes not from avoiding things you'd rather not do or experience, but from not minding the doing and the experiencing of them. I couldn't have learnt that without the order and the movement. It's been a delight to find that stretching to stay with the extremes of a friend increases your tolerance, your understanding, and your appreciation of difference. You don't actually just tolerate difference. You learn to appreciate it, and it becomes the richness of life. My kind of person is not a helpful idea. I came to the order and Tri Ratna with idealism, and that was stirred very much in that first weekend at Taraloka. This idealism was like rocket fuel. It really propelled me. It was necessary for liftoff. But like the rocket, it had to lose that bit when the fuel had done its job. I had to let go of idealism. I had to mature while retaining and deepening ideals. And I think it's that we're faced with as a community periodically. Our ideals, our idealism is faced with the messy, unsatisfactory facts of life. We are in samsara, all of us. But the thing is to go through that. I went through it very painfully when I hadn't been in the order very long. In fact, the Guardian article had come out a few months before I became Mitra convener. Not a good conjunction. It really wasn't. So things like that's the grindstone, that you have to be honed by. But But I had to let go of my idealism while retaining and deepening the ideals. And above all, the order allowed me to do that. And I have inexpressible gratitude to it. And to all of you for allowing that in my life. Thank you. Mm-hmm.